I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I will be preaching through the whole entire psalm this morning. That is a joke. I wouldn't do that to you. I do know of a pastor at one time. We were at a conference, and he was the a speaker at the conference, and he got up and he read the entire psalm, and that was his sermon. And it was good. So I encourage you to read the entire psalm whenever you get a chance. It takes about 25 minutes to do, but it is powerful stuff. Maybe sometime we will work through it together. As you're turning to your in your Bibles, I would just by way of announcement, I would like to encourage you to begin looking at the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. August 1st, I plan on starting our study in the Gospel of Mark. So together, we as a church, we will work through the entire book. I know that sounds a little, intimidating, but I promise you, it is a blessing. To work together as a church through an entire book. So I encourage you to go ahead and start working on that on your own. Start looking at it and reading it. Familiarize yourself with it. August 1st, we will begin together looking at that. So Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96 will be the text for this morning. But for sake of context, I'm going to go ahead and read 81, verses 81 through 96. So I invite you this morning to stand with me in honor of reading God's Word. And we will begin at verse 81. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your Word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? Then the insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep your testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been in my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie and wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. You may be seated as we pray. Father, once again, we do gather as your people around your word, and our greatest desire is to hear you speak through your word this morning. Lord, we help you. We hope that you. We ask that you help us understand and give us clarity of your word, and help us apply it to our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask that you convict our hearts where they need convicting. And it's in your Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. It's actually the longest chapter, if you will, in the Bible. It's the longest portion of the Bible, and it's a collection of inspired reflections on the nature of God and His Word. It praises God's word, and it's a good reminder of how important it is in our lives. We've been going through a few sermons over the unity of the gospel and what it is to be the biblical church. And one of the important things before we continue that is to realize that we are united on God's word. That we stand on His word as our foundation. And so it is important for us to remember that and to look at God's word and how important it should be in our lives and how we should rely on it for our everyday life. And specifically here in this portion of the psalm, how we should rely on it to help us get through trials and tribulations and afflictions that we go through. This psalm helps us as believers. It shows us how we should respond to God's word in every aspect of our life. In the first eight verses of the stanza in Psalm 119, we see that the word is meant to be a blessing in our life. The next stanza shows us the pathway to purity. And also the next shows us that God's word is all we need. It is sufficient to help us through any suffering that we may face in life. The 11th stanza of the psalm is verse 81 through 88. And the psalmist says his soul longs for God's salvation. We see that in verse 81. So the psalmist is pouring out his heart. He's obviously going through some affliction here. He's going through some suffering and trials and hard times. We see that he longs for his salvation. Verse 81, he looks to the Lord for His promises and asks Him to deliver him, to comfort me. He says, verse 82, my eyes long for Your promise. I ask, when will You comfort me? In verse 83, he expresses how he feels like a dried out, withered wineskin that is just laying in the smoke of a fire. He feels like he's going to perish under the weight of his suffering. Have we ever felt like that? But he continues to trust in the Lord. He continues to pray to Him and ask Him to preserve him. And he walks in obedience to God's word. And this morning we're going to look at the 12th stanza, which is verses 88 through 96. And we're going to find that indeed God has preserved His life. We see that He has gone through the trials, verses 81 through 88. He's gone through the suffering, through the hard times. But verses 89 through 96 kind of give us a picture that He's on the other side of that trial, that He's made it through. Verse 92 shows us this. It says, if Your law had not been my delight. That past tense shows us that He has moved on through that trial. He has moved on through that suffering. It is in the past tense to give us that inclination. So whatever affliction He was talking about in those first few verses, He has come through. In the previous stanza, He gives us, His words are of desperation, and it's almost as He is sinking in quicksand, and He's trying to hold on for dear life. But now in verses 89 through 96, we find Him on solid ground. And the foundation upon which He is standing, which He has been standing and which He continues to stand on, is the Word of God, the commandments of God. And church, our secure foundation in this life is found in the love and obedience to the revealed Word of God. The Word of God is our firm foundation in an uncertain world. We live in a very uncertain world. The world we live, the way that we face life, the way we rightly face our life, is the firm foundation of God's Word. The psalmist here gives us his testimony of the faithfulness and the flawlessness of God's word. So we'll begin by looking at the first couple of verses there, verse 89 through 91. And we see that the psalmist has complete confidence in God's word as faithful. God is forever faithful in his word. God's word is eternal. He says it's firmly fixed in the heavens. Firmly fixed in the heavens. Now that's an interesting combination, wouldn't you say? Firmly fixed in the heavens. When we think that we are standing on solid ground, when we are firmly fixed, we think of the earth, the ground, right? I had spoken with Miss Christie, and she was scared to death to fly in the airplane. And I bet, even though she had that layover in Fort Worth, that she was glad to be on solid ground, right? She celebrated the fact that she was on solid ground. So this language here is could take us off guard, because it says that it is fixed in the heavens. It is firmly fixed in the heavens. And when we think of that, we think of the ground. But this verse here is talking about that it's transcendent. His word, God's word, is transcendent. It is above and beyond us. It is above and beyond all things. It is infinitely outside of our comprehension or human opposition or spiritual opposition. The word of God is firmly fixed forever. We see that forever, O Lord. So it is nothing can beat it, nothing can compete with it, and it is forever. Nothing else in the world is firmly fixed, much less firmly fixed forever. But God's word is firmly fixed forever. This book, the Bible, that contains God's word, is not the book of the week. It's not the book of the month or the year. It is the book of the ages. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." But notice also how the psalmist here in these first verses is pointing to creation. His creation itself is an example of God's faithfulness and God's everlasting word. If you want to know how sure God's word is, look to creation. You look up and look around you, and you can see how faithful he is in his word. How fixed and established his word is. The psalmist is declaring, look no further than creation itself. God created everything. And how did he do it? How did he create everything? He spoke it. He created all things by his word. Once creation was fixed, his word was established. So the evidence of God's eternal word is displayed in creation around us. The psalmist declares, just look to the heavens. But really, what the psalmist is asking, the question that he is truly asking, is how good is God's word? How good is it? I mean, we can understand this, right? We judge people every day by their word. If we ask somebody that's kind of hit or miss to do something, and they say they're going to meet you here or they're going to do this for you, and they're not really trustworthy, you don't hold your breath, right? Because you can judge them by their word. You're not for sure in their word. You're not secure in what they say, because you never know what they're going to do. But there are some people out there that are very trustworthy. If they say they're going to be there, rain, sleet, or snow, they're going to be there, aren't they? And so we do this ourselves. We judge people by their word. And here the psalmist says in verse 90, God's faithfulness endures to all generations. You can depend on it. You can know that when God has said something, that it can be trusted and that it is true. It is dependable. And how do you know this? The psalmist tells us, look at creation. He spoke it into existence and it is established. And look what he says, continue on. You have established the earth and it stands fast. Why does the earth stand fast? Because he tells it to. Isn't that amazing? Nobody does anything I tell them to. I can't even get my 5-year-old to do something I tell her to do. But yet here, we know that God, everything stands fast. The earth, the heavens, everything is sustained and keeps going because God tells it to. The reason the earth stands fast is because God put it in its place with his word. And for generation after generation, you continue to see God's faithfulness through his word on display through creation. Think about this. From simple things, the fact of the position of the earth, right? Because of where it's located, we can live. Life can flourish. We have 24 hours a day. We have different seasons. Everything is ordered perfectly. And he keeps it, sustains it. He keeps it going perfectly. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together." This world exists and continues to hold together because of the power of his word. So what's the point? What point am I getting at? What point is the psalmist getting at? If God is consistent, if he is constant, in his creation, if every day we know that the sun is going to come up, if every day we know the sun is going to go down, we know that the weather is going to change, if he is constant in his word through his creation, then he is also constant in his revealed word through Scripture. So when we look at creation and we see the beauty and how it is so organized that we can't even comprehend, that gives us an idea that the rest of his word is true as well. Just as he is faithful in creation, he is faithful in his word to us, in his promises to us. God is constant in his works through his created world. So he is just as faithful through his revealed word. If the glorious creation that we call earth displays his word is forever faithful, then we can trust that no matter what trials or afflictions we go through, that his word will also be just as faithful. And continue on, verse 91, "By your appointment they stand this day." By your appointment, they stand this day. "For all things are your servants." The word appointment here is means ordinance or judgment. It is the act of decisions. By your judgments, by God's judgments, they stand this day. "For all things are your servants." So the earth, the heavens, everything visible, invisible, stand fixed by his judgments. Now the word there stands they stand this day also is the same as the word stand fast in verse 90. It means fixed, firmly fixed. It means concrete, they stand against. But it also can mean that it stands ready to do God's word or to do God's will. So we see this in creation as well. When God tells it to rain, it rains. God tells it to snow, it snows. When God calls upon creation to be in a drought, it's in a drought. Creation is there, standing ready to do God's will, to obey God's word. Now, some of us hear quite often of Mother Nature, that Mother Nature is in control and it just does whatever it wants, that there's no rhyme or reason for how it functions. But that's just not true according to the Bible. There is no rebellious molecule in the universe, as Daryl said this morning. Everything is under His control. That's supposed to reassure us, folks. That's supposed to be something that we get excited about and say amen to. Because can you imagine living in a world that God is not in control of? Now, things don't work how we want them to work. Things don't work how we think they should work. And sometimes that causes us to throw our hands up and say, well, it's just out of His control, but that's not the case. We still live in a fallen world. We're still sinners. There is still a curse upon us and a curse upon creation, and that's the reality. But things are still under His control. So the creation stands firmly, it is fixed, but it also stands ready to do the will of the Lord. And it says, verse 91, for all things are your servants. They stay ready. Creation is ready to do whatever God says. Mark 4, verse 41 reiterates this. The disciples ask, Who is then that even wind and sea obey Him? So Jesus is performing miracles, and here He comes and He does miracle over the weather and the sea, over creation itself. It is Jesus' authority over creation. Who is the only one that's going to have authority over the weather, over creation? God. This gives us confidence in His word. This gives us confidence in Christ. Everything obeys His voice. And if this is true for creation, if this is true for the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, if this is true for the clouds and the rain and everything around us, everything that we see, shouldn't this be true for us? Shouldn't we stand ready to do His will? Shouldn't we be ready to obey His word? We should walk in obedience. We see that through His creation, that His word is forever faithful. And therefore, we can have confidence in walking in obedience to His word. Next, we'll see the power of God's word. Going back, verse 67 says that before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Verse 71 says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that all your rules and your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. And then verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. The psalmist almost perished. Trouble almost wiped him out physically, emotionally, spiritually. So what was it that got the psalmist through this extremely hard time? It was God's word. It was God. God helped. You know, the Holy Spirit helps. The God is there for us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. But that's not what the psalmist is saying here, right? He says that he relied on God's word. He says that what got him through his affliction is his submission to God's word. John Phillips, a theologian, writes, "A word of God helped the psalmist keep his sanity. It gave him something to hang on to when the world was falling apart. It was a rock. It was an anchor. He was able to get his feet on solid rock when surrounded by the quicksand of mincing circumstances. He was able to throw out his anchor and feel the cable hold his drifting boat against the rising wind of perilous reef." If you delight in God's word, it will keep you when you cannot keep yourself. When you are going through hard times, no matter what that struggle is, you can turn to God's word. You can be comforted by his word. Psalmist, just like creation, is standing ready to do God's will. He has meditated on God's word. He has delighted in it. He has obeyed it. And to this point, God's word is faithful. You can see this through creation. We can see that he controls everything. Then living in obedience with his word should enable us to be sustained as well. It's what gives us life. Verse 93 says, "I will never forget your precepts." Forget is not a mental recollection. It is not it is more of a matter of the will than the will more than the mind. To remember God's word is to do God's word. James 1:25 says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." It's not good enough just to say, "I know God's word." It's not good enough just to say, "I know God exists." It's not good enough just to say, "I know Jesus." The way that we are to behave, the way that we are to respond to situations in our lives, not only as individuals, but as a church, is by his word. We are supposed to be obedient. We are supposed to act upon it. "I will never forget your precepts" is a pledge of obedience to his word. And see, God's word shows us how we might truly flourish in this world that he has created. Why do we struggle when we go against what he has said is so? Why do things just go haywire when society and culture go against his word? Well, he's the one that designed it. He's the one that created it. If you go against the grain to a certain amount, you're going to get a splinter. Things are going to fall apart. God's word is there to help us. It is there to help us understand ourselves better and to understand him better. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we struggle with the things we struggle with? Because we're sinners. Our kids aren't bad kids. I know grandkids are never bad, right? They're not bad. They're just sinners. And they sin. And they have less control than we do as adults. So God's word helps us understand Him and ourselves better. We must be committed to His truth. We must be stand ready to do His will. How do I respond to the situation I'm going through? How do I respond to, or how do I look at affliction that I've gone through last week or even this week? How do I speak to a person who is attacking me? How do I respond to a world around me that's in total chaos? The only place that we have that is firm and that is fixed is God's Word. The psalmist is telling us when we go through these things, how are we to respond? We respond in obedience to His Word. Look at Jesus when He was being tempted in the wilderness. And the devil comes to Him and he tempts Him with all these things. The kingdoms of the earth, he tempts Him with food, he's hungry. Does God reveal a new word to him? No, he responds with Scripture, doesn't he? He stands ready to do his Father's will. We should stand ready to do God's will. The trials we face, often they're to better us. They're intended to change us. They're intended to have us look at our own hearts. So as we prepared ourselves for communion, Paul tells us to examine our hearts, come to the table in a worthy manner. Often trials do that to us. They're supposed to strengthen us. They're supposed to have us look in our own hearts at how we are going to respond to things. Are we just going to throw Him completely out of the picture? Well, obviously, I'm going through this hard time and things are just, I've lost my car, I've lost my dog, I lost my truck. I've lost all these things. There must be no God. That's how the world looks at it. I know it's the perfect country music song. I've completely lost the church. Thank you. But we must learn from our trials. We must look to God's word. We must be obedient to His word. The last verse here, verse 96, we see how God's word is perfect. So we see that God's word, we see stability in God's word. We see that it is fixed, it is firm. There is nothing that can overwhelm it. There is nothing that can overcome it. He is faithful in creation. We know that He is faithful in His word to us and His promises to us because we can see that in creation. We see that His word is powerful. It is by His word that He changes our lives. It is by His word that He sustains us through our afflictions. And why is this so? It's because His word is perfect. Verse 96 says, I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. This verse pretty much summarizes the whole stanza, doesn't it? This verse argues that even the best things in this world are limited. They're finite. They're tainted. Nothing in this world is perfect. There are no perfect people, no perfect locations, no perfect moments, experiences, achievements. There's nothing perfect. Even the things that seem perfect by our earthly standards, they come to an end, don't they? Perfect vacation, right? Have a good time with family or without family, whatever your view of perfect vacation is. But guess what? It ends. You got to come home. You got to go back to work. What about the perfect Christmas, right? It's 100 degrees outside. Perfect time to talk about Christmas. We look forward to Christmas. Look forward to family coming over and the perfect Christmas. Everything's going right. The turkey or the ham is cooked perfect. Everything smells good. All the family's there. And just everything is good. And you're so blessed to have everybody there. But guess what? December 26th comes around, doesn't it? And it ends. The perfect Christmas. It ends. The psalmist here is saying that in life, I've seen a limit to everything. But one thing that he's never seen a limit to, the one thing that he's found no end to its perfection, is God's Word. The Word of God is perfect. It's complete. It's limitless. It's undefeatable. What else are you going to look to? Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away." The average person views the Bible as a narrow book. It's not inclusive. It excludes people. It's narrow-minded. It's ancient. It's not relevant. But the psalmist says that the Bible is not narrow. It's exceedingly broad. It is limitless. It is perfect. God never reaches a point that it's no... God's Word never reaches a point where it's not useful anymore. It's no longer relevant for the world that we live in. We don't need to add anything to it. You will never be in a situation where God's Word won't help you through it. The Word of God is exceedingly broad. It's beyond perfection. It's the mind of God. It's His inspired Word. You have the mind of God. You want to know what God is like? He's right here. He has revealed Himself to us in His Word. If He had not have done this, if He had not revealed Himself in His Word, we would make a God up. We see this every day in the world. Nobody knows you better than the one that created you. He speaks to you through His Word. And just like creation, we need to stand fast and ready to do His will. How should we respond to things that happen to us? Very quickly, just a few final notes. Martin Luther once wrote of God's Word, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me." The Bible is not just an ancient, it's not a just antique, or it's not just a temporary word for times of the past. It is eternal. It is alive. It convicts you of your sin. It changes your heart. If we don't stand on this foundation, what do we stand on? What are we going to build on? We should build every aspect of our church and our lives on God's Word. From the leadership, from the classroom, from what's taught, this is our foundation. And we can see that God spoke His Word and created everything by His Word and sustains everything by His Word. And now we know because of that, that's proof alone that we can rely on His Word and that we must be obedient to it. Only God's Word can give us hope. Only God's Word can give hope to a lost person who is struggling with the thought of eternity. Only God's Word can give joy to a sick person who is suffering in pain. Only God's Word can give comfort to a grieving person who is standing over a loved one, a lost loved one. Only God's Word can give us peace when we are anxious or going through facing hard times. Only God's Word can give us strength, give strength to a troubled person who is enduring family troubles. Only God's Word can give guidance to the confused person. The novelist Lloyd C. Douglas lived in a boarding house during his college days, and a retired music teacher lived on the first floor. And they shared a daily ritual with one another. Douglas would come down the steps. Upon the old man's door, he would ask, "Well, what's the good news?" And the man would pick up his tuning fork, and he would tap it on the side of his wheelchair. And he says, "That's middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It'll be middle C tomorrow. It'll be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, that is middle C. The Word of God will never change. The Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, for every believer in here and for every believer that has ever existed, is our middle C." Would you stand as we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. I pray that as we reflect on Your Word, as we sing and reflect on what You have said throughout Your Word, that we realize that no matter what we go through, that we can stand fast, that we can stand ready to do Your will, that we can firmly plant our feet on the solid rock of Your Word, because it is true, it is powerful, it is perfect, and it is steady. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. Thank You for revealing Yourself in Your Word and through Your Son. I pray that as we continue today and through this week, that we turn more to the Scriptures to guide us and to help us. It's in Your Son's name I pray. Amen.